Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Prophet John Anochi on Instagram and Twitter, and John Anochi Ministries on Facebook. For further details, call 0540-996670. Visit the prophet on www.johnanochiministries.org.
Light the world with the word of life. Word of life.
This is a word of life with the Lord's General, Prophet John Anochi.
Thank you, Spirit of God. I have been talking about the Lord Jesus, his eternal sacrifices. I talked about the blood of Christ. I talked about the tabernacle and the covering of the tabernacle. And when I was talking about the tabernacle, I started referencing the shadow one, and I gave you a pictorial view of what the shadow one was like, and made you understand also about yourselves, because we are the tabernacle of God. So that you could picture how the tabernacle of God was formed. And the Bible says, God said, I do not dwell in tent made with hands anymore, but I dwell in the people that I have made, the people that he has designed, the people that he has crafted. The book of Psalms says, by my spirit I have created, by my words I have made. The book of John says, without him nothing was made that was made. So he crafted us, he designed us for this purpose. It is our calling to house him. And I remember that Jesus said unto the people, who told them to tell the people to shut up when he was entering Jerusalem, and he says, if these people shut up, stones will be raised to praise God. Amen?
Amen.
We will not sit down for stones to carry God. We are better than stones. We will not sit down for trees to carry God. We are better than trees. Are you with me now?
Sure.
Yes. There is no symbol on earth or element on earth that is better qualified to carry God apart from us. He designed us to carry him. So, when the Lord designed that, they will construct a wooden box and a tent to be moving from one place to another to carry him. He told them to overlay everything with gold and make sure everything was perfectly done. Artisans were specifically and specially ordained for that purpose, because God is a perfect God and he requires everything of his to be perfect. But he framed and made us according to his own image and after his own likeness, that we will carry him wherever we go, and that we will be his temple and his tabernacle, that his dwelling place will be in us, and that his address will be us. And so the Bible says he requires our bodies, okay, an effort from us to walk in the righteousness consciousness and to be holy in body to carry him. Can you imagine that even the wooden box that they constructed, they have to overlay everything with gold? It actually expresses how pure the vessel that must carry God must look like. It actually expresses how unique and how holy, because, you know, when gold, pure gold, is used to finish something, it means that it has gone through 8 stages of what? Purification. It has gone through the several stages of purification, and it's now 99.99 what? Pure. And that was what the Lord required, even in the shadows.
that they will be so pure before they can carry him. Now, if we are privileged enough for him to make us his dwelling place, his tabernacle, his temple, what sort of people are we supposed to be? What sort of bodies are we supposed to be? How are we supposed to keep our bodies? That would be better than a very pure gold that has gone through its purification stage or stages. Are you with me now?
Sure.
What kind of mindset are we supposed to have? What sort of spirit are we supposed to have? And what sort of bodies are we supposed to have for us to be able to carry him well? And that's what the Bible says, rend your heart, not your garment. Then it says that glorify God in your bodies that are what? That are the Lord's, that are God's. So the bodies that we possess, that we have, is the Lord's. Because he possesses us as vessels and he uses us. And that is why he said in the great house, they are vessels of gold and they are vessels of silver. But if a man knows how to purge himself, he shall be a vessel, what? Unto honor, not unto dishonor. It therefore means that as children of God, who are carriers of divinity, as carriers of God, we are supposed to purge our conscience and purge ourselves. And purging is a kind of cleansing. Now remember that cleansing is the work of the Holy Spirit, but there is a type of cleansing that is our work. The Lord requires us to do it. He requires us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto him. That means God has set up a standard that our bodies must actually what? Be purified to get to, because he says it must be acceptable sacrifice unto him. So I'm asking a question, what sort of bodies are we, how are we supposed to preserve this? What level of purity are we supposed to what? Walk in order to be better carriers of God. For the Bible said the divine nature, according to the book of Acts, is not something you can touch. But the divine nature is tangible also in the spirit. The Lord Jesus knows that there is weakness. But he wants us to walk in the consciousness of righteousness. Consciousness of righteousness. There is a difference between the righteousness consciousness and being sinless. Because the Bible says that he that is born of God does not sin. But anytime you want to walk into the fact that am I sinning, have I sinned, then you are walking in sin consciousness. By righteousness consciousness is to walk like Jesus. Now, for example, who has ever seen light and darkness fighting before? No one has seen it. You have not met them before. Now, who has ever seen light and darkness and they are fighting? Shum, shum. Who has seen that before? Because, you see, darkness does not have the capacity to resist light. When you enter your room and there is darkness, all you need to do is to locate where the switch is. And when you tap on it, prah, light comes. And where is darkness? It's gone. So darkness doesn't struggle with light. When light is admitted to a place, darkness disappears. So righteousness consciousness is to walk in what? The perfect order of Christ. Is to walk in light as he is light. That is righteousness consciousness. Now anybody who is more light, any type of darkness that sees you will flee before you. Because that's the responsibility of light, is to shine. Light doesn't know how to retreat. When you on your torchlight, it penetrates through the dark to the spot where it's supposed to be. It fears no darkness. Any darkness on the way of a torchlight disappears. Light has one law, shine. When it's lighted, it brights. When there's darkness, it disappears. That is the same thing about righteousness consciousness. When you study the word of God and you begin to practice as God has said, it is righteousness consciousness. Devil's sin has no issue with you. So it's like you are walking on the path of God. When somebody's leg is there and you step on it, because you're walking in the light of God, you don't even know. So that is like sin. So maybe you are walking straight way. God has given you a straight path to walk on. And you are walking on and sins are on the way. You step on them, you don't even know that you're down to a sin. That is righteousness consciousness. Am I talking to somebody right here? But when you are going on the straight path and you feel that, oh, you have planted something, I might fail. That is sin consciousness, darkness consciousness. It will not cause the revelation of the power of God in your life. Am I talking to somebody right here? Oh, my Father. Sopra igano savahaleses. Telugra agrasos kovrahimahasos. Medosiva alahasha. Let me read the book of Genesis. I'm going to be telling you some things, okay? The book of Genesis chapter number 3, the verse number 21. Let me start from the 20 to 21.
Genesis chapter 3 from verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them.
Okay, so the Lord put clothes on them. So the Lord clothed them. The Lord did what?
Clothed them.
He gave clothing unto them. So the Lord clothed them. Amen.
Amen.
Mesuvradi lahaka salahasha. Inde sovre e kaligasi atoski vedebrahasha. The Lord is the one who clothed them. Now, I want to let you understand something. There was a day Prophet John was teaching and he made mention of something about the tabernacle. And I think he directed a question to me, like he asked me a question. He said I shouldn't say it. If you remember, he was asking you guys question, and he said, don't say it. If you remember, he said, go and research. You understand? Now, and I have been talking about something, those days that when I was teaching about, you know, the temple of God and all of that. And I told you something. I opened the book of Revelation to you. The book of Revelation to you. And I remember opening the book of Revelation chapter number 21. And I opened the book of Revelation chapter 21, the verse number 22. If Apostle can read from the 22 verse, please. I want you to understand this, okay? Yeah.
Revelation chapter 21 from verse 22.
Yeah.
But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple.
Okay. So, but I saw no temple in it. What was that? Where was that temple? Remember that Revelation 21 is talking about the new city. The city which is called the heavenly Jerusalem, the Zion, the city which is called Zion, which has 12 gates, 12 foundations. Do you remember
sure.
That? Good. So the glorious new Jerusalem. So there's the Jerusalem that is here. For the distinction to be made, God says new Jerusalem. Not the one on earth, the one that will come from above. And he saw that in the Jerusalem, because God, for him to dwell in a place, he has to dwell in a temple. But this particular Jerusalem, when God descended, when I'm saying God here, I mean Jesus, when he descended here, there was no temple. And then when the prophets were looking, they didn't find no temple. And they asked questions. Okay? The holy ones. So, where are the temple? Where is the temple? And he says, but I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Now, temple, okay, tabernacle. Temple is a dwelling place of God. Tabernacle is a dwelling place of God. So, and he says, the Lord God Almighty
And already I have read to you in the book of Revelation, chapter number 1, and I have revealed to you by the scriptures who the Lord God Almighty is. Have you forgotten? Yes, have you forgotten? The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8. It says what?
I am the Alpha and the Omega.
So I am the Alpha and the Omega.
The beginning and the end.
I am the beginning and the end, saith the Lord.
Who is and who was and who is to come.
I am the one who is and who was and then he who is to come. Who is to come. And that is Jesus. He was, he is. That means, you know, when I am dealing with the name of God, the supreme I am of God. Remember that when Moses asked him, when I go, what will I say? He says, I am has sent you. When Jesus came, he also said, I am. You understand? Yes, I am. You know, he said, I am. He asked him, who is I am. Before Abraham, I am. He didn't say, I was. He said, I am. You understand? And so if you really want to describe it, you know, a third party describing, you will say, he is. He is. Whether past, present, or whatever, he is. Or future, he is. So he said, I am. A lot of people, there's the same thing. Jesus, he said, I am. And there are several scriptures that he said, I am. The disciples asked him, who is that? He says, it is I. Do you know that? He said, it is I. Yeah. It is I. Now, he says, who is and who was and who is to come? And he says, the Almighty. The Almighty. So Jesus, and he was the one talking. And he said, there's no place in the Bible that Jesus claimed he's God. This is who is the Almighty? He's the one that used the word Almighty. He said, I am the Almighty. The Almighty. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. Do you understand the point now? Now, do you know the Alpha and the Omega, what it means? He is the Alpha of every creation. And he's the ending of every creation. Because God, who is eternal, doesn't have a beginning. Doesn't have an end. But so far as this creation we are living in is concerned, he started it and he will finish it. You don't understand it. And that is why we put the word amen. Amen. And you say, Afina ebeyeho, ana enyeho. Amen means it's complete. It's done. It's what? Done. You are rich.
Amen.
It means done. Glory be to Jesus.
Amen.
We honor you, my Father. So this is the Almighty. The Almighty. The Almighty. Remember, I was reading something to you. It says, he found Adam and Eve naked. And he clothed them. Through our scriptures, God is found of clothing people. Clothing people. Now, he is also the temple or the tabernacle. So when you see the tabernacle that was there, when we saw the tabernacle in the shadow, it was a picture symbol of the Christ. Because Christ Jesus was the first vessel or man on earth that the fullness of God dwelt in. When he was on earth, the totality of God came to dwell in him. The totality of God sat in Christ. And so Jesus was walking and performing miracles. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. And they ask him, and he says, my father is working, so I'm working. And they ask him, who is doing the miracles? He said, my father is me, the one who is doing the miracles.
What I see him do, that's what I do. And he said, thy father who lives in me. He pointed to the one who lives in him. So the father left the throne and came to stay in Christ. On the cross he said, so many evidences in scripture. My father, why have you forsaken me? If he was not living in him, why would he say that? Because he left him. He hates sin. You took the sins of the world, he had to leave. And he says, I have power in myself to lay down my life. That's what he said. He himself said it. He said it. Sometimes people say, there's no place in the Bible that Jesus claimed he's God. I am. It's not anybody's grandfather's name. That's God. He says, I am. And we read the book of Revelation 21. He says, and I look and there was no temple because he is the temple. And he used the lamp. He said, the lamp is the temple. Why am I saying all these things to you? I'm going somewhere. It's very, very powerful. He met Adam and Eve naked in the Garden of Eden and he clothed them. How he clothed them, you were not, but he says he clothed them with tunic. That means animal's skin covering. He covered them. He put on them. So he's fond of putting things on them. And the tabernacle too, when they were forming them, there was coverings. There were inner coverings and there were outer coverings. The outer coverings, two of it, the lamb skin dyed red, and then what? And the badger skin also. And the tabernacle was clothed. So he put clothes on the tabernacle. Because yesterday, a day before yesterday, I told you on Friday, I think I told you that as we are tabernacles of God, we have been clothed by God. Jesus has clothed us. But how did God clothe us? How did he do it? How did he do it? The scripture reveals it. Now, in the Bible, please remember these things that I'm sharing with you. That the Almighty, the book of Revelation talked about, it said the Almighty and the Lamb, they were each what?
Temple.
Each temple. Each tabernacle. Each temple. You get it? So there was no temple in the New Jerusalem. If we needed to go and worship anywhere, we are in him. So we go into him to worship because he is the temple. And the entire place is his. And we were born into the sanctuary. And the Bible says he dwells with us, but he is in the most holy place. And apart from being in the most holy place, he lives in us. Can you imagine? I'm going to show you something. But the tabernacle that they carried and they erected the tent, they erected Jesus. So far as Jesus, as a vessel was there, the Spirit of God, Papa God, will come and dwell inside.
Amen.
So when he came, he had come to dwell inside a prototype, a pictorial view of the Christ, but in a shadow form. Am I talking to somebody right here?
Sir.
Because God can only descend in Christ. Christ is the only one that can house him. So they have to make a tabernacle and house him. The moment he sees Christ, then they come. When he doesn't see Christ, when Elohim, Papa God in the undersea, doesn't see Christ, he doesn't come to live in our midst. Now Jesus comes and then he sacrifices himself. And then he says, I have given you eternal life. But as I have given you eternal life, I paid the price for sin for you. But I want to dwell in the people. I want to dwell in the people. So to dwell in the people, it means that there must be the construction of our body composition. You know, the kind of body composition we have must be in the same image and likeness of the Christ. But we lack something. Sin was separating us. So after dealing with sin, what we lost, he had to bring it. So he had to put something on us. So that when God sees us, he sees us as the Christ. then he dwells in us. That is what the Bible says. We are put here to actually what? Build the image of Christ unto the fullness. When we are done, the Bible says, and those who are Christ at his appearing, both spirit, soul, and body at his appearing, we are raptured. Please, are we together now?
Yes.
Thank you, my Father. So understand that the tabernacle, that's why I told you that, if you remember, sometimes when we are teaching, this thing come to pass. You heard it already. Myself, Prophet John, we've spoken about the fact that he is the tabernacle. He is the covenant. He himself sits upon the throne. Do you understand the point now? And then he is the sanctuary, because we were born into Christ. When we're born again into the sanctuary. But he is the sanctuary that carries us. Am I talking to somebody right here? Now, please, are you getting it? So in the book of Revelation, when you go unto Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, and you saw another temple there, it would have been a difficult thing to understand. Because the whole new Jerusalem is like a temple itself that is Christ. So when you go into that place, everything there is Christ. So the veils and all of that, the white linens that they lay inside the tabernacle and all of that, and the outer, everything is the Christ. That's the composition of the Christ. But that was the that shadow symbol. It was a pictorial symbol of him, the original. Now Christ comes himself personally, and then he baptizes from the water. And the Bible says, and God come to dwell in him. In fulfillment of what they were practicing on earth. So Jesus moved and God moved. The house of God. And the reason why he was called the anointed one was because once you house God, you are anointed. You are anointed.
Amen.
Because you house God.
We will be right back.
Light the world with the word of life. Word of life.
I mark her in the name of Jesus. Soon, soon, the Lord opened my eye. That's why worship is important. And I saw in the realm of the spirit, I lose your name from any camp of the devil, any chronic headaches and fever.
Yes, Lord.
They want to attack your life, your health. Life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Come out, out of here.
Out.
Every attack of the devil against your life, I cancel it.
Amen.
Every attack of the spirit, evil world, opening up unto things against you to fight your favor and your importance, I cancel it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody shout glory be to Jesus.
This is the Global Prayer Palace. This and every Thursday at 14 Boundary Road, East Legon, Accra. Also live on World Wide Web Television on YouTube.
Light the world with the word of life. Word of life.
This is a word of life with the Lord's General, Prophet John Anoche. Welcome back.
Now I want to show you something here. Remember that he clothed Adam and Eve, even in their flesh, in the body of their flesh, he clothed them. And he did it for them. I want to read the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. Okay. Now, the entire book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, the entire book talks about something remarkable. He was recounting something about, maybe Apostle can read a little bit so that I will explain. Just a little bit, and then I will explain. This is how the Lord was actually recounting where this harlotry of Israel came from. He was recounting how the harlotry of Israel came from. So please, can we go ahead? Jerusalem, okay? Yes.
Ezekiel chapter 16, from verse 1.
Yes, so he was talking, you know, specifically about the vine. And it's actually the symbolic of Jerusalem. Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Ezekiel 16, from verse 1.
Yeah.
Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man,
yes,
cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and saying, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem,
yes,
your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan.
Did you hear what he read? He says, your birth, and so God is talking to Jerusalem, and he's telling them their origin. that you people are Canaan. You are from Canaan. You know that. How do you know that? Is it where? Are you sure? Like, is there a guesswork or you know what you are talking about? Please, do you know what you are talking about? I don't know. When you do this, I don't understand. Because you watch something and somebody, a teacher is teaching and all of them are good. And he says, A, B, C, they say, yeah. Everybody, yeah, yeah. So it's like everything yes, everything no, everything yes. So what are they talking about? God is talking to Jerusalem and he's telling them that you people, your nativity is Canaan. And I said, do you know that the nativity of Jerusalem is Canaan? And I said, how do you know? So you can't say yes. And you can't prove it. Judges. Mommy Abba. The apostle will just say Abraham and everybody will say Abraham. Where was that? The book of Genesis chapter 12. The Bible says Abraham and his fathers, they came from what? The Chaldeans. They were from Canaan. They were from the plains of Canaan. After the dismantling of the then Babylon. He was from a family. But do you know something? He was telling them how he found Abraham. That when they gave birth to Abraham, he was, it's like an outcast, thrown away. Because the woman that the Canaanites gave birth with was someone, you know, that they didn't need. So this boy was thrown away. And God found him. God, who is spirit, how did he find Abraham? It means God spoke to someone, went to cover this guy's nakedness, took him, breastfed the guy, did everything that he needed to do. Why? Because he was seeing his own people in him. And he says, Abraham became mine. But when he was speaking, he says, Jerusalem. That's what he did to them. Because in him, he found Judah, of which his king. Because he had a plan. I'm going to send this because Adam had already committed it. So I'm going to now find a man and bring this generation through. But he has to be a man after my heart. But all these men are worshippers of idols. But this guy, he alone did not want to serve the idols of his father. He was looking for a God who is supreme than the idols that people have been carrying. The wood and the stones that people have been worshipping. The rivers that people have been bowing to. And God said, I'm here. I will find you. Apostle, read it. So read the story now. He's reading the story. Please follow it.
Verse 3. And say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem.
Yes.
Your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan.
The land of Canaan.
Your father was an Amorite. And yes. Your mother a Hittite.
Have you seen? Your mother was an Amorite. Your father a Hittite. Okay, so we can go and show you who the Hittites are. So I've taught you these things. Now let's go ahead.
As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you.
Yes.
You were not rubbed with salt, nor yes. Wrapped in swaddling cloths.
Yeah.
No eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into the open field when you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. And when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. I made you thrive like a plant in the field. And you grew, matured, and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed. Your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was a time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness.
Now, notice that the Bible says Jerusalem was naked and he traces them up to their source. Do you understand? Up to their source. Okay, so go ahead.
Verse 8. When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was a time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you.
So
and you became mine.
And the covenant was who? With Abraham. He swore an oath, entered a covenant with him, And then the covenant, he says, and the seed shall come. And that's the supreme covenant. Even the old covenant had a recognition of the seed in it. So when the seed came, then the new covenant started. Now, let's go ahead. He says what? I clothed you in what? The 10th verse. Is that not where you are?
No.
Okay, the 9th verse.
I was about to finish the 8th. Okay, it became mine, says the Lord God. Verse 9. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood. And I anointed you with oil.
So I anointed thee with oil. I anointed thee. So I thoroughly washed off your blood. And anointed you with oil. So even from the beginning, there was an anointing of oil. Now let's go ahead. Moses hadn't come yet. Yes, let's go.
Clothed you in embroidered cloth. And
now,
gave
embroidered cloth means that, you know, something that has been, you know, woven. And so it was with many colors. You get it? You know, when you are weaving something, it can't be one color. It will be a very dull thing. Unless maybe it is a cover. Like you're going to just be a bed cover or something. Even that one, it needs a design. But this is a covering of every part of this guy's body. Okay? Yes. And he's talking about Jerusalem. Now, let's go ahead and see it.
Verse 10.
Now, if I break it down. So, in Jerusalem, only one man was found by God. And then God began to bring them. And when they started coming out, he anointed each of them with scale, specific scale, so that they could become a whole nation. Because you cannot have one ideology for nation. You need people who are skilled in governing, kingship, administration. You need talent for industries. Like, I can break it down. So God, the attitude of God is such that when he finds somebody, they covered you with the embroidery and all of that. These are all prophetic words and terms. That is why when Jesus sent you and you start teaching the gospel and you start winning souls, you need to house them and teach them and train them till Christ is formed in them. Let them be loyal to Christ first. Because you can teach people to be loyal to you and they will not be loyal to Christ. Let them be loyal to Christ. But train them. The best way to keep people loyal is when you train them. Because I believe in Jesus, he's my boss, he's my king, he's my Lord. So when I train you to believe in him, your loyalty will stay with me. Why? Because so far as I still stay with him, you also stay with me. That's why I always say, follow me as I follow
Christ. Good.
So he trained them, gave them skill, anointing, and they became mighty men in the land of Israel. That all nations heard about their exploits. That every empire that came wanted to actually put off these people. They wanted to go scatter them and kill everybody. And it's historic. And their enemies are generational. Why? It's because of the way God trained them. Now, but they were trained to represent the shadow people. And when Christians came, who are also trained, anointed by Christ, the same hatred is meted out unto us. By the people of this world. By all other religious fronts. Why will you make laws against only Christianity and not the other religion? If truly you want to prohibit prayer, other religious groups, don't they pray? As for them, they can pray, but we can't pray. It means our prayer disturbs them. Let's pray more whilst we have the liberty to pray.
Amen.
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 That means our prayers, it does something. But the thing that is only when we do this, that's where Jesus will see we have prayed. We can be walking and praying. Don't joke with us when we walk like this, tired. We are praying. We can still perform. Because tongues is not only spoken in your mouth. You can speak in tongues in your heart. You can make melodies of songs in your heart.
Yes.
Jesus said it to us. We can pray. With our mouth closed, but we are praying. Am I talking to somebody right here? So you make law and say we shouldn't pray. You don't want to find us doing this. Listen, this is actually religious and sanctimonious. Proper prayer, we can walk without. Abraham was walking to and fro when they took his wife, just by walking and fro. And in his heart, he was communicating to God. Now, because if he had communicated by his mouth, they would have heard him that, oh, not knowing this is what your wife and you told us it's not your wife. You understand the point? So he's walking. In his heart, he was talking about it. So assuming I'm talking in my heart, you are hearing me now. You are God, you are hearing me. Ah, Lord, this is my wife, you know. Because I had an agreement with her that she has to say that I'm her brother. That's why, you know, we are like this. But you know, it's my wife. I have a covenant with you. They can't keep my wife. These people, they are joking. My father, my king, my boss. So he's speaking in his heart. He's walking in. And then God said, don't worry. I've closed all the wombs. I've cursed them. I've cursed them. Did you see how Abraham's wife was obedient? To the standard, he says, say something so I will not be killed. If it was some wife today, the way they will betray you, when you are dead, I'll take over your property, so die. These are not good wives. In fact, they are not wives in the first place. Have you seen how Mama Sarah was very, very good? That's what the Bible says, is the mother of all women in Christ. The New Testament recognizes her, my friend. And even her modest dressing, the Lord recommends it for us. The Bible says we should look unto her and dress like that. You know, Abraham was a king. So imagine his queen. She was dressed in very well, elegantly, powerfully. And you think that people would just see a woman and say, ah, this woman there, she's for our king. You think she was wearing any? No! She wasn't wearing handkerchiefs. No aprons for cooking. No. She was, the Bible says she, and when the Old Testament, you see, the old fashioned word, it says, and she was fair. It doesn't really mean her skin texture or complexion. It actually means what?
Beautiful.
Yes, beautiful. Shapeful. Wonderful. Not fearful. When she walked, you saw that a queen is coming. You understand? Yeah, man. She didn't walk. Tim, tim, tim. No. Wave your hand to the Spirit. Say, dear Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you.
Now, first, we'll read for us. I clothed you with embroidered what?
Cloth.
And what?
Gave you sandals of badger skin.
And gave them sandals of badger skin because on their way there were a lot of snakes. So even as they walked Jerusalem, they walked with badger skin. Their sandals that protected their feet. That means these people, they were focused on their assignment. They were focused on their, do you understand? Because their feet represent your direction. And so their direction from the wilderness even unto the, you know, the land that has been given unto them. Alright? It was a very pure one. They walked. And their feet were protected. So every nation that were snakes, when they came, they defeated them. You couldn't divert their purpose. When they said, we are passing through your land in peace, you say, you will not agree. We will gun you down and pass through. And all of you become slaves. Are you hearing my point now?
Sure.
Yes. So today you say, I need a contract. It is for my benefit because that's why you have to assign something to it. The reason is that, Lord, there is a need in the church. We need $1.5 million for something, and you must get the $50 million contract so that you can actually, Uber, why 1.5? God, take it for your business. What is the purpose attached to what? Are you hearing my point now? There are people like Oiska, any, yeah. Don't go with God like that. Recognize He's the source. Listen, anytime you are stingy, you can't multiply. In our kingdom, the people who prosper are the people who are like this. The people who are like this. They are one and a beka. And multiply that. Maybe you are now calculating. You will be calculating your money. Can you imagine the Lord telling them that I gave you badger skin? Anywhere you get to, you are covered. Then what again? I clothed you with fine linen
and covered you with silk.
Can you imagine, say, kings, they wear silk. Princes, they wear, can you use silk to actually design clothing? And when you see it, you say, wow. Have you seen silk? And they are silk and they are silk. The Bible silk is different. The pure one. Amen. Mm-hmm. And then in the 11, he says what?
I adorned you with ornaments.
I adorned you with ornaments.
Put bracelets on your wrists.
And I put bracelets on your wrists.
And a chain on your neck.
I put a chain on your neck.
And I put a jewel in your nose.
So he put a jewel on their nose.
Earrings in your ears.
And he put earrings. And so God was embellishing them. You understand? Making sure that they are beautiful on every side. And these were all gold. Put jewels on their what? Their ears. And what?
A beautiful crown on your head.
A beautiful crown on their head.
Thus you were adorned with gold and silver.
You are adorned with gold and silver. No any other metal. Yes, let's go ahead.
And your clothing was of fine linen.
Uh-huh.
Silk and embroidered cloth.
Uh-huh.
You ate pastry of fine flour.
You ate pastry of fine flour. Not the ones people have been importing to us. You ate pastry of fine flour.
Honey and oil.
Honey and oil.
You were exceedingly beautiful.
You were exceedingly beautiful.
And succeeded to royalty.
And you succeeded to royalty. So God was preparing them for royalty. So you succeeded, you know what? To royalty. And then he says what?
Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty.
Uh-huh.
For it was perfect through my splendor, which uh-huh. I bestowed on you,
uh-huh.
says the Lord God.
So you see how Israelites became powerful. It was because God worked on them. And it took years for God to work on them. That's how explosion happens. Expansion happens like that. Growth happens like that. So God clothed them. He put clothes on them. He put clothes on them. Say amen to Jesus right now.
Amen.
Glory be to Jesus. Wave your hand. Say, Father, I thank you for my life.
I thank you for my life.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Now, in the tabernacle, the outermost covering of the tabernacle was made of badger skins. Okay? And this layer of material was actually dyed red. There was another inner cover. Okay? So, two covers, or the outer covers, two of them, was the badger skin and then the ram skin dyed red. And it was the covering above it. As shown in the pictures that I showed you yesterday. When you read the book of Genesis 21, the Bible says, and God, when he found them naked, he clothed them. And when he actually discovered Jerusalem from their source, he nurtured them. And they were naked and he clothed them and embellished them. And trained them to become what? To exhibit his splendor. And the word splendor is his glory. His splendor, his glory. And their fame spread abroad. That is how the Lord has been doing his work. Now, it is no difference with us as a living tabernacle that he has prepared us. So when you go to the book of Galatians, in the epistles, there is a revelation of the word of God concerning what the Lord has done for us. Say amen to that now.
Amen.
Somebody say, glory be to Jesus.
Glory.
Am I talking to people right here? The book of Genesis chapter number 3 verse 26 and 27. He says what?
Galatians or Genesis?
Yes.
Galatians 3, 26.
Galatians 3, 26. Yes.
For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus.
For you are all sons of God. Somebody lift up your hand and say, we are all sons of God.
We are all sons of God.
Through faith in Christ Jesus.
Faith in Christ Jesus.
So we are all sons of God.
We are all sons of God.
Through faith in Christ Jesus.
Through faith in Christ Jesus.
And what has happened?
27. For yes. As many of you as were baptized into Christ.
As many of us that were baptized into Christ.
Have put on Christ.
We have done what? We have put on what?
Christ.
So Christ. He didn't say Jesus. He says Christ. So Christ is a garment. So you are a perfect tabernacle for God. Why? Because you have put on Christ. Now you understand now. You see the tabernacle. Do you remember now? That the whole tabernacle that God came to dwell in was a prototype of the Christ to come. A pictorial view, a symbolic picture of the Christ to come. And he came, and God dwelt in him. Then us, he says, and I will call you temples and tabernacles of the living God. The dwelling place of God, the habitation of God, like this. But this was made with hands. But he says, I will dwell in people that have not been made with hands. But I am the one who framed them, fashioned them. So God made us by his word. Jesus himself is the one who made our bodies. Because the Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 1, verse 1 to 3, he says, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him, nothing was made that was what?
Made.
Now, so Jesus Christ, you know, remember that when I showed you that Papa God, who is the Spirit, creates and the word makes. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the word that made everything was what? Including Adam, was Christ Jesus. The word. And that was in our form. He picked clay and made us. And he breathed unto us the bread of life. But because of sin, we were dead in trespasses. Then he made us alive by his blood, eternal blood. Then he now put Christ on us. He put the garment on us. Do you know the garment? It is the priesthood garment of Christ. That is why in the tabernacle, only priests were working there. So he put priesthood garment on us. So the tabernacle that housed the activities of priesthood. In fact, when we look at Christ that has been put on us, there is badger skin inside of it. There is actually the lamb's, you know, skin that is dyed red. So we are untouchable people. So my topic today, that a lot of people are celebrating Jesus around the world. You know, in a supposed resurrection timeline, which is a week before now, is that he put himself on us. So the topic is, he clothed us. Do you understand the point now? He did what? Yes. And he says he clothed them. He put on us. Covering, his covering. So Jesus Christ now. And that is the reason why it pleased God to live in us and to dwell in us. The Bible said the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwell in Christ. And do you know that? Because Jesus put himself on us. Because as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on what? Christ. So now what you are wearing is Christ. Say, I'm wearing Christ.
Wearing Christ.
And the Holy Ghost, the Father, is inside of you. Eternal life is inside of you. So it pleases him to dwell in us. The fullness of the Godhead to dwell in us. The theotis to dwell in us. My friend, you are a full package.
Amen.
When you walk, God has walked.
Amen.
When you move, God is moving.
Amen.
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 When you open your mouth, God has opened his mouth.
Amen.
When somebody is asking you, where is God? He say, me. He said, what do you mean you? He say, yes. Why? Because he has put him in me and he has put his clothing on me. So when somebody is looking for Jesus, Jesus is upon you. Jesus is inside of you. That is why I say, Jesus is with me. Jesus is inside of me. Jesus is upon me. Jesus by my side. Are you hearing my point? Jesus everywhere. Where Jesus? Everywhere. You can't get lost. Somebody, you can't get lost in the spirit. Jesus is by your side. As many as have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. We are no longer moving tabernacles made with what? Hands. We are no longer moving. Alabashenda. Jesus is not interested. Moving anymore in tabernacles of old, tents of old that were made with hands, with practical and physical badger skin. But there is a spiritual badger skin dyed red. There is a takash. Hey!
People come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will ever be. O Hill City, and the Garden of Eden before us, were a great privilege of awakening to a life of a new wine. Wheat and oil is released. Partake of the powers of the age to come.
His words, the power is his authority has invested in him.
To the Lord's General, Prophet John Anoche, and the Holy Colonial Family, every Sunday at 8:30 GMT at the Tree of Life Service. Worldwide Word, raising people to function like Christ Jesus.
We trust you've enjoyed today's broadcast. For more information, visit www.johnanocheministries.org, www.worldwideworldministries.org, or call 0302-507-154 or 0540-996-670. This broadcast is made possible by partners of John Anoche Ministries.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233-26767-6055, +233-26767-6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.